Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. Today I'm going to be talking about experiencing God's love. Listen to this reading. It comes from Romans chapter 8. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Trial or distress or persecution or hunger or nakedness or danger or the sword? As Scripture says, for your sake we are being slain all the day long. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. Yet in all this we are more than conquerors because of him who has loved us. For I am certain that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I remember that I went to a golf tournament one time, and I'm standing there watching Tiger Woods putt. And I look over to my side, and there's this man standing there with rainbow-colored hair, really big hairdo. And he's standing there holding a sign right in front of the cameras. And he made sure that he got right where the cameras were. And it said John 3:16. Maybe you've seen this guy. He goes to ball games, and he goes to golf tournaments, and he goes to football games. And he seems to be at all these different sporting events because he wants to evangelize people by holding up John 3:16. Well, I made my own sign. And here's a sign that you're probably never going to see at a sporting event. And it's 1 John 4:16. And you know what it refers to? God is love. Oh, what a wonderful scripture. God is love. And that's what I want to talk about today, that God is love. Love isn't something that God does. It's not just an attribute or a characteristic of God. Love is something God is. God is caring. God is generous. God is sacrificial. God is even romantic and fervent in his love. And I'm going to break that open for you because I want you to understand something. God isn't just love. He loves you just as you are. I love that scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his son to die for us. So in other words, we don't have to be going to church or perfect for God to love us. I mean, he loves us just the way we are, but he's going to move us further. He loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. In other words, his love changes us and moves us forward and helps us to develop a personal relationship with God. So I really want to impress upon you the fact that God loves you, and God loves you personally. Pope Benedict XVI, our former pope, right before Pope Francis, his first encyclical came out in 2005, and the encyclical was God is love. And in this encyclical, he used a number of words for love, Greek words. There's eros, that's that erotic love. He used the word philios, which is brotherly love, you know, Philadelphia. And then he used the word agape for God, God's agape love. Agape love is unconditional love. As I said, it's not conditioned on how good we are. God loves unconditionally. And then agape love also means God's sacrificial love. And that comes right from John 3:16, that sign that that man likes to hold up. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, love is sacrificial. Love gives. Can you imagine those of you who are parents giving your son or giving your daughter in sacrifice? That's exactly what God, that's how deeply God loves, that he sacrificially gives. And that's what love is, sacrificial. I wanted to let you know that Mass Eucharist that we celebrate in the Catholic Church used to be called an agape feast. And, you know, we use the word Mass or Eucharist, but in the early Christian days, it was called an agape feast because it was celebrating God's sacrificial love in giving his son. I've been to the Cenacle, that's in the Holy Land, the traditional place of the Last Supper in Jerusalem. It's called the Cenacle. And if you go upstairs in the Cenacle, you'll see some capitals or pillars in the upper room where Jesus is purported to have had the Last Supper. And on one of those capitals, there's a very interesting figure. There's the figure of a mother pelican. And I thought to myself, why do they have a bird on one of these capitals? Why do they have a bird on one of these pillars? Well, I did a little research on it, and come to find out, the mother pelican in mythology actually wounds itself and feeds its young with its blood. See, the mother pelican sacrifices itself to feed its young. And that's why in the Cenacle, as a symbol of the Last Supper, we have a pelican. Because Jesus literally was wounded to feed us with his blood. So I want you to understand that God's love is sacrificial. I remember one time I was out golfing. And it was one of those rare times. I love to play golf, but it was one of those rare times where I hit the ball into the rough. Well, anyway, I'm going over there looking for my ball. And as I'm going over there, all of a sudden, I see this bird. And I mean, it was all in a dither. You know, I was going over, I go over there looking for the ball. And all of a sudden, whoop, 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 you know, with its wings extended and everything. And then I would back off, and then it would stop. Then I'd go a little bit closer, and whoop, 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 it would get all upset. And then as I explored a little bit closer, I saw that there were six little white round things right by the bird, and none of them were my golf ball. Actually, what it was that was a mother bird, and those were her young. She laid her eggs on the grass. I think the bird flunked out of nesting 101, laid the eggs on the grass, and it was the mother bird. And every time I came near it, it was trying to protect her young. Now, it's interesting. I had a big golf club. I'm very tall. I must have looked like Goliath to that little teeny bird. Bird didn't care. All she cared about was her young and protecting her young. And she was willing to sacrifice her life for those little chicks, for those little eggs. And see, that's what love is at its essence, especially God's love. That's what agape love is. Agape love is sacrificial. And we have that great image of the Eucharist, Jesus sacrificing himself for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then I remember one time years ago in Yellowstone National Park, maybe you've heard the story, I've told it a few times. 25 years ago, there was a ferocious fire, burnt over 1 million acres. Can you imagine 1 million acres of Yellowstone National Park, that beautiful national park, scorched? Well, after the fire, the park rangers were looking around and they were trying to assess the damage. And as they looked, they came upon a very grotesque figure. It was the figure of a bird that was burnt to a crisp with its wings extended. One of the park rangers grabbed a stick and he went over and he just kind of knocked the bird over. You know, ew. And when he knocked it over, four little chicks came running out from underneath the bird. You know what that was? That was the mother bird. And when the fire came, she extended her wings to protect those little chicks. See, that's sacrificial love. This sacrificial love, Jesus extending his wings over us to save us from the fires of hell, to save us from the fires of death. He gave everything. Those of you who are parents know what it is to give everything for your children, to sacrifice money, to sacrifice time. That's in its essence what love is. Love isn't just a feeling. It's a decision, you know, we hear that from psychologists, but it's sacrificial. You have to understand that. And I think the greatest symbol for me, one of the greatest symbols as I was preparing for this talk, one of the greatest images and the signs of God's love is a mother. One of my earliest memories of my own mom, talk about sacrificial love, you know, mothers are just giving. First of all, giving birth to you, taking care of you and the time and the effort and how they focus right on their little baby. And that to me is what God does for us. Well, I remember, I think the earliest memory I ever had of my mom, my mom's now 89 years old as I preach this, she lives in Florida. But the earliest memory I ever have of my mom, I don't know what it was that was going on, but my mom was hugging me. She was like smothering me and smooshing me really closely. And all I can remember is hearing her heartbeat. And I felt the love of my mother for me as she just hugged me and hugged me because she loved me. And in a real way, that's what God's love is. It's this hug, this smoosh, this bringing you close. And I thank God for my mother. You know, most mothers are very loving. I thank God for my mother because she gave me such a good image about what love is, giving and sacrificial and tender and affectionate. And then, you know, I want you to know that, you know, it was my mother, when I think about it, she was the one who diapered me. She was the one who breastfed me. She was the one who heard my first words. She was the one who saw me walk for the first time. So my mother loved me because she reared me and she raised me and she got to know me. And in the same way, I love what it says in the Bible, Hosea 11:3, God said, I am the one who taught Ephraim how to walk. So in other words, what is God saying? Whether you realize it or not, God is the one who gave you birth. God is the one who reared you. God is the one who protected you. God is the one who raised you up. So like a mother, God is the one who loves you because he is the one who gave you life. So his love for you is more than a mother for a child. And I want you to understand that the Bible is a love letter from God. It says in the scriptures, Isaiah 43, get this. This is right from God to you. You are precious in my sight, and I love you. Wow. I remember years ago, we had a big synod on the Word of God, you know, in the Catholic Church. All the cardinals and the bishops got together and had this synod. And one of the cardinals got up and said, the Bible is a love letter from God to us. And you have to understand, one of the ways that you can hear about and come to know God's love is by reading the scriptures. Now, mothers are special people, and I want to continue on this theme of mothers being a symbol of God's love. You know, I know so many of you watching are mothers, and you know what it is to give to your children. But I remember I had this dramatic experience of God's love when I was 18 years old. And God touched me. I had two near-death experiences. I'll talk about those in just a minute. But I remember I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was filled with God's love. I was born again. And my whole life changed. I went from a person not even going to church to all of a sudden on fire with God's love. And I remember when God touched me, I had this burning desire to want to go out in the streets and tell everybody about Jesus. After all, I had experienced the resurrection. Jesus was real. I wanted to tell everybody about it. So I remember one night, I went and I sat on the couch of my mother. I'm 18 years old now. Now remember, my mother knew I wasn't going to church, and she knew about my religious. She's the one who raised me up. She knows me. And I'm sitting on the couch. I go, Mom, God has touched me. Oh, it's so good. And I'm born again. And you know, and my mother's probably thinking, oh no, we got a born again in the family. Well, I'm sitting there talking to her. I said, Mom, I just want to go out in the streets and preach. I got to tell people about Jesus. I mean, Jesus is real. God is real. And I don't want people to miss it. I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. My mother looked at me and said, Cedric, if you go out in the streets, you can go do that if you want, but nobody's going to listen to you. You have to get educated. You have to get credentials. You have to get formed. You have to go through the process. And I go, Mom, I don't want to go through the process. I've got Jesus. I've got fire. I can preach. She goes, go ahead if you want to, but nobody's going to listen to you. Oh, that hurt. And it hurt because I didn't want to go to college. I didn't want to go to school anymore. I just wanted to go out and preach. I went back to my room and I prayed. And I realized, you know what? Mom is right. Nobody's going to listen to me. I don't listen to anybody out there in the streets that preaches and tries to push the Bible on me and everything. So what I did is I made the decision. If God is calling me, I'm going to go through with this. I went to college. Then I went through formation and philosophy. Then I went through the seminary. I'm talking about years and years and years, got formed, got my credentials, got ordained in 1991. Now, 22 years later, I'm preaching on TV, preaching on the radio, preaching in all these different cities, written 17 books to date. People are now listening to me. And you know what? My mom was absolutely right. I think about how afterwards she told me, years later, she said, "Cedric, I got to tell you something. When you were going through all that, Dad and I were talking to each other, and we were saying, we thought you lost it. We thought you were losing your mind. We were very worried about you. We were thinking about bringing you to the doctor. But yet, you know, she hung with me, and she didn't abandon me. And she stayed patient with me. Do you know 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we can act squirrely, and we can be sinful, and we can make it look like we're going crazy, and God doesn't abandon us. Like a mother's love, sacrificial, patient, stays with us, sticks with us. God is always faithful. And I want you to know that, as I said before, this comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his son to die for us. Not when we had it perfect, not when we had it all together, not when we had our credentials, not when we were righteous and going to church. While we were yet sinners, maybe some of you are just watching this program, you haven't been going to church, you've been living like a scoundrel. God's in love with you, and he's going to bring you back. He's going to touch your heart. And I believe it's providence that you tuned into this program. So it says in the Bible that God makes his sun shine on the just and the unjust. This is the way God loves, indiscriminately. He makes his rain fall on the good and the bad. That's the way God is. And so we've all heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I want you to understand something. Yes, he loves the world, but he loves you personally. Because as I said, he's the one who reared you, he gave you life, and he knows you. And I really want to impress this on you. He doesn't just love you, he loves you personally. He doesn't just love you because he created you, he loves you for who you are. And I wrote down some superlatives, some adjectives here, some descriptions. One time they asked me, "What is your name?" And I said, "Cedric." They said, "Oh, that's different." I said, "No, it's not different, it's unique. You are unique. You have individual fingerprints. Nobody else has them just like you. You are one of a kind. You are an individual. You're rare. You're unique. And God sees exactly who you are, and God loves you. Different from everybody. I know there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth, but different from everybody else, God loves you personally." Well, you might be thinking, "Well, I haven't been very good, and I haven't been seeking God and praying to God." He still loves you. He loves prisoners as much as the Pope. He loves you as much as he loves me. But it's all different depending on who we are. And yet you must understand, it's a very personal, individualized love. And I want you to get that. One time I was talking to a girlfriend of mine years ago, and we were sharing. And I said, "You know, why do you love me? I'm so insecure. There's better looking guys. There's richer guys, more gifted people. Why do you stay with me?" And there was a resignation in her voice. And she said, "Cedric, I love you." And it was almost like she didn't want to say that, but she had to, because she was so connected with me. And if you will, she was obsessed with me. Like, I remember that song by Olivia Newton-John years ago, "Hopelessly Devoted to You." That's the way she seemed. There's a connection with God in us. There's a devotion. If you will, God is obsessed with us. And I can say that because I have to share with you, many of you have heard me talk about this before. Years ago, I had 2 near-death experiences, and I encountered God. God took me through that tunnel. And I went to God when I was 18 years old. I wasn't worthy of that vision. But God gave me that vision. I saw light. I experienced the glory. But most of all, and this is what I want to impress upon you, the love. Now, I've been loved by girlfriends, I've been loved by my mother, as I told you, I've been loved by my dad, but I have never, ever experienced love like that before. And here's what I experienced. I wrote down some words here. God's love was penetrating and fervent and passionate. It was dramatic and ravishing and blissful And remember how he appeared to Moses in a burning bush in the desert. There was a burning to God's love that was so powerful. And I discovered God was obsessed with me and fixated on me. And he was captivated with me personally. And not just me. I realize it's everybody. This is the way God loves. But there's a very intimate, personableness to God's love. It's not just God so loves the world. No, it's God's love is intimately and personal for you and for me. And this love has revolutionized my life. You may think that God's mad at you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. I really want you to soak that in right now. That's really important. One of the reasons why we read the scriptures is because we don't always feel God's love. You know, I've talked about God's love as being like a mother and sacrificial, like a girlfriend, very romantic. The saints tell us about this, the romantic love of God, the passionate, fervent, ardent, burning love of God. Well, that's true, but oftentimes we don't feel it. Okay, God loves me. How come I don't feel it? Well, don't give up. One of the reasons why we read the scriptures is to remind ourselves about God's love, because sometimes we forget. We get jaded. We don't appreciate it. Psalm 136, over and over again, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. He created us. His love endures forever. He redeemed us. His love endures forever. Over and over again, it talks about how his love endures forever. And then another way that you can experience God's love is by meditating on the passion. I am a passionist. And we have a dedication. My first vow is to meditate on the passion, the cross of Jesus, the crucifix of Jesus, and proclaim God's love to all the people. You'll see on my heart, we call this a sign. And the sign is the passion of Jesus Christ. That's what this means in three different languages. And we have a saying, may the passion of Jesus Christ be always in our hearts. See, sometimes we forget about how much God loves us, the extent to which he went, the unlimited measures of God's love. We forget about it, so we have to meditate on it and reflect upon it. And that's why preachers, hopefully, will tell you about God's love. You see, the cross speaks to us. Remember, it spoke to St. Francis of Assisi, and he said, go repair my house, it's falling into ruin. Well, if you look at the cross, it will captivate you and capture you. It's a love story, and we've been baptized right into that love story of redemption. And what will the cross say? I'm in love with you. I died for you personally. I love you just the way you are. Can't you hear it speak to you? So God's love is so very present. You know, I was on a retreat recently and I heard a talk about God's love and I didn't feel anything. And I went back to my room and I started writing things down. You know, I see God's love when I take walks in creation. I see God's love in people. I see God's love when I write things and produce things and preach. I see God's love when I go outside and play golf and eat good meals. One place I see God's love is when I go to good, inspiring services. There's a priest in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, one of my home parish of my mother. His name is Father Greg Parker. When he preaches, I feel God's love. He is such a great preacher. And I'm hoping that you'll feel God's love as you hear me preach, because God's in love with you personally. So look at the facts. God created you. He reared you. He brought you up. You didn't just happen to be. From all eternity, God created you. He redeemed you on the cross. He's going to bring you home to heaven if you have faith. God's in love with you. So read the scriptures, look at the cross, appreciate your life. You know, sometimes we're so jaded, we don't appreciate all we have. Every heartbeat, every breath, every moment is because God is in love with us. So I want you to really understand, as the scripture says, nothing will ever be able to separate us. You want to talk about separation anxiety. Every time I leave my mother, it's so hard because I know I'm not going to see her for a while. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I love what it says, not even death will separate us. And I know that personally because I was given those two near-death experiences. Death isn't going to separate us from God. Death is going to bring us right, it's going to usher us right into the love of God. So fear not. And the trials and the tribulations, the hardships of life actually can root us in God's love. So, I held up that sign a little earlier, and I want to give it to you again. You may not see this at a ball game, but I can tell you this. It's probably the foundational scripture in the whole Bible. God is love. And His love is unconditional, and it's sacrificial. And I want you to understand, it's very, very intimate, romantic, and personal. It's agape love, and it's for you. And you may not feel it, but I want you to trust it right now, because the truth is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes may not perish, but may have eternal life. And may the passion of Jesus Christ be always in our hearts. Amen. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.